Good morning. So I'm going to sit on the table. So this morning, I really want us to be kitschy, interactive. This is where we're at. This is who we are. So a bit of interaction I'm really, really hoping for.
Hello.
Is that okay? So to start with, do we have any testimonies, Joanne?
Right. My testimony. I was walking to work, and I live at the top here. And just at the top of Constitution Hill, there's a road coming out. I don't know what it's called, Brom's Way or something. And it's all quite steep round there. And this, I saw this chappy coming out on his bike with his a little tacker on a bike. I thought, oh my goodness. And I looked, because if it's something that I would never have done or I wouldn't do, it impresses me. So this chap put his hand out to turn, right, with a school bag. And I thought, oh my goodness, the boy's cycling to school. They're cycling to school. And as they came to the junction, it's quite steep. I thought, oh my goodness. But he was fine. The boy was fine. He stopped. The dad stopped and the cars let them out. And as they came round, I heard the chap say, he said, it's okay. He said, you go in front. He said, daddy's behind you. And he said to him, you know, change gear now. And it's okay, I'm with you, I'm keeping you safe. And I think sometimes when God has called us to do something, or we're doing something and we look around and we can't see God there at all, actually, he's behind us and he's saying, daddy's with you, I'm keeping you safe, and he's instructing us. And I thought, wow, that was just so good. It just, God just spoke to me on my way to work. On Friday it was.
So good.
Any more? Did you say yes?
Right, I've had a lot of struggles lately. Very, very challenging time. Really, at my wit's end, and then suddenly I started to listen to some sounds. You can't really. They were just tones, you know, frequencies, like tones, you know. And I felt better just by listening to it. And I could see God in that. And then as I was going about things, we had the meeting, the SOAK meeting at Marika's. And then, you know, it started to open up. The sound thing started to open up for me. Then I listened to some Bethel music, which I wouldn't have touched with a bar pole, really, you know. I like Sam's stuff, but I thought, well, it's a bit flowery feeling. But I'll tell you what, you know, I had the most incredible experience I've ever had in my life. And I met God, and I was just dumbstruck for about an hour just listening. Because fortunately, they put great big long clips on, some were 4 hours long. This was 4 hours. I only listened for an hour. And, you know, I had heavenly experiences. And all right, next day, was it all gone? It was really, really testing. And I know, you know, if you read Mark's book, that's what he's saying happens. It happens. That's how it happens. You know, I suppose it happens for everybody. I don't know. But, and, you know, and God was like saying, you know, actually, he was saying to me, actually, exactly Mike's words, you know, do you still love me if you haven't got this? And, I was hard put to say yes, but I did say yes. Well, where else am I going to go? So, yes, of course. And things have been going on like that. And I've had some, since then, I've had some life experiences. You know, they weren't just coincidence, you know what I mean? So, what I'm saying is that that for me is just a testimony. I'm not, you know, trying to sell anything, but that for me was an entry into a real God experience, and that came through sound.
That's really encouraging, because obviously we're exploring frequency and sound. Da, 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 da. And when we do our activations and encounters here, to usually to Sam's music, we know that frequency is really, really important, that frequency is in everything, and that often we resonate at a frequency which is quite low, But certain sounds can raise that frequency, and that's what we want. We want to live in that higher frequency. And also, apart from sound, Mick, which is fabulous testimony, we know that essential oils carry frequency. Ta-da! So today we are diffusing. We're not distilling gin, I promise. Diffusing essential oils, because again, they can increase our frequency. And obviously, the higher the frequency that we are resonating at, the easier it may be for us to engage in that supernatural spirit realm, which is where we want to not only engage, but we want to reside and to live. So all of these things are really positive. And take Joe's testimony, Mick, that even though the next day you didn't feel it, God was behind you, with you, in you. But sometimes we don't feel it. Sometimes things get in the way, all sorts of reasons. So that's a good start to our little adventure today. So what I'd like you to do is have a piece of paper. And a pen or pencil. So again, I just want to reiterate, you know, what does church look like? Well, we're exploring, we're evaluating, we're on a journey to say, what does it look like when we come together? What does it look like when we gather in the name of church in inverted commas? And that's what we're exploring and experimenting together. And really, what does it look like is we feel God will show us at this time, he will show us what he wants us to do. And as long as we engage and encounter God and our family with each other, I think right now that's where we're heading for. So what I want you to do, without thinking, okay? So first things that come into your head is what I'm looking for at the minute, and I will explain why. So I'm going to say something, and I want you to write down three things without evaluating, assessing, taking the time to ponder, all right? So I'm going to say, when you hear the word God, what do you think? Three things without thinking, which is a bit of a contradiction. Okay, I'm not going to give this too long because otherwise you're thinking. Okay, what I'm looking for is some interaction in a minute, but I'm not looking for it right now. Or shall we do it right now? Is anyone prepared to say, no, we're going to do it, no. I do want to hear if people are prepared to say what they wrote down, but now what I would like, Dan, can we just have a couple of minutes of one of Sam's, which will be a good one, Sam. Putting you on the spot. Just a couple minutes of some of Sam's music. Now, I want you to think of this. Well, I don't actually want you to think, but as we engage on the inside, so more of, not here, but if I say, what do you think of when I say God from in here? Huh? What do you feel? What do you feel when I say, what does God mean, or what does the word God, or when you think about God, but let it flow rather from a reaction in your head. See what comes when you actually feel it or sense it on the inside. Does that make sense? Yeah. No. Who said no? You said no. Okay. So one is like an immediate reaction, which is coming from a mindset. Yes. Okay. And what I want to do, hopefully, is see if there's a bit of a difference. Okay. Well, anything, but if we can get three, I just think from coming from the inside of us, maybe our spirit or our feelings or our emotions, something deeper than just a... Yeah? Okay. I'm going to stop you because we're going to do this again for a bit longer to actually engage properly. But I just wanted to do this for a short time. Was there a difference? Okay. So what I'm hoping... That's right. So I'm going to put automatic first. The reason I didn't put these on the board first was I didn't want to suggest anything. I didn't want you to go on what someone else may or may not have said. So I appreciate people may not want to share these, but I just think there's something really special if we can all kind of be in this together because we want to just move forward. So is anyone happy to or prepared to say some of the thoughts that came as an immediate sort of mind thought? Oh, you're A-star students, you are. I won't put love again because it's there, okay? Done? Did I put, oh, so Alice, sorry. There we go. Any, Karen? Religion. Joy, peace.
Love, gentleness, and kindness.
Forgiveness, didn't I?
Yeah, in the middle. Oh, yeah.
Does truth say? No. Nope. Have I missed anyone that wants to share anything? Okay, well, actually, that's pretty impressive. That's quite a variety of ways to, because this is just immediately what comes to mind, okay? Now, shall I do it on the same side? On the same. I'll read them for the tape. I'll read them. So, The words that automatically came from our mind were higher spirit, Jesus, joy, love, pain, grace, faith, real, question mark, power, forgiveness, mercy, big, mine, religion, church, belief, holy, peace, safety, in control, faithful, safe, dad, father, truth, gentleness, kindness, creator. So now, if possible, if anybody wants to, if they would like to share when we engaged and responded from within rather than from in our mindsets. Joe. Hang on a sec. Confused, believe,
hope. Love, hope, and love.
I think they're different. Can we put can I stick it under that one? I missed anyone that wants to go.
Well, I've got Papa Bear squish.
I like Papa Bear squish. Big's up there, isn't it? Oh, another big. And part of, yeah? Part of big. Part of big. Part of big. excitement. No, it's different. It's like, woo! Warm and fuzzy. If I put warm and fuzzy. Missed anyone out? Okay. So I'll just read through these. So the ones that kind of came when we pondered a little and went from our insides were Papa Bear Squish, love, kindness, strength, warm, blessing, loved, safe and secure, confused, believe, hope, life, unconditional, steadiness, courage, connection, freedom, forgiveness, infinite, finite, Father, restfulness, total acceptance, eternity, worship, community, in everything, Redeemer, Restorer, part of big, wholeness, completeness, at one, cared for, light, at rest, warm and fuzzy. It's a pretty good list, isn't it? So you've quite impressed me, because to be fair, I thought that some of these might not necessarily come out until these. Because sometimes, I think dichotomy is the right word, but if not, Michael laugh. Sometimes there can be a separation in what we think in our mindsets. So the first thing that comes to what actually is on the inside, and vice versa. Sometimes we can say the right things, but actually we don't feel like that on the inside. So it can be good in your head, or concentrating good in your head and feeling bad on the inside, or you naturally spurt out things because they're in there but don't actually line up with on the inside. So this is, you know, we're doing all right, aren't we? Because a lot of what comes, obviously, by spending time with God, by engaging in the heavenly realms, we're all on a journey. For some of us, we're further along on that journey than others. But the thing that we know that needs to change is our mindsets, because those will hold us back. And it was really interesting talking earlier to Adam in the kitchen. Sometimes things happen, or we engage stuff, or we encounter stuff, and immediately our mind gets in the way. And we dismiss it, or we dispute it, or we think, well, that wasn't truth, and I just made that up, and that wasn't real. And really, where we want to be is that the two are together, so that we're flowing together, so that our belief system, our mindsets, what we think lines up with our spirit on the inside, because we know that God lives in us, and that there's a door that we can open where we have access to heaven and the whole spiritual realm. And we want that to flow out from us in our everyday lives, so that it becomes our actual reality. And the place that often hinders us, because how many of us can be in this environment and we can engage in the now and we have an encounter, but it's difficult when we're on our own, or later on we think, did that really happen? Because our mindset gets in the way. So this is actually a fairly good indication that we're on a journey, and that God is doing some stuff to break down our mindsets, because this was the first thing that came to us. For some of us, it might still be that we're in that journey and we're like, oh, I'm not too sure about this. That's okay. It's not wrong. It's not bad. It's just we're where we are on our journey. But where we want to be is that this is a natural flow, that this is where we are at with God all the time, no matter what else is going on. So what I would quite like to do now, I think, unless anybody else has got an idea, is let's put some music on again. Let's ask God to change those mindsets that get in the way. Those things, and they're belief systems, really. They're things that we've been taught from an early age. Some of us might have had experiences of church or religion, or maybe no experience of church or religion whatsoever, but no encounters with God, where our minds will automatically think, well, is this real? And the way that you know something is real is if you experience it. Otherwise, I'm just telling you it's real. And you're like, it's not real for me. And what we want to know is that this is our lifetime experience, that this is who we are, because God has so much for us that we can live out of. But we need to experience, because it needs to be on the inside of us, because if it's in there, it can flow out. If it's not in there as experience, it's really hard work when you're just trying to choose to believe something, isn't it? You're just like, well, this must be true, or this, or is it, or isn't it, or whatever. It's hard when we don't experience it. So if our mindset sometimes gets in the way, let's have an engagement now with truth. That'd be good. Let's engage with truth, because truth can change those wrong mindsets. So whatever that looks like for you, I'm not going to be prescriptive about this. If Dan can play some music and we can just focus for a minute, and let's just corporately open that door on the inside and see where God takes us. So we just release truth into the atmosphere and into the room. We declare that, God, you are truth. And we come into that place now where we see that door on the inside, and we open the door. And as we step through, we ask you, Father, to engage with us as truth. And as we engage, that truth will change our wrong mindsets, that will remove blockages, that you will create new neural pathways in our minds that will just link us directly to you into the heavenly realm. We release angels now to minister to us. And if there are areas that we have been blocked by lies, if we have allowed lies to establish in our minds, we ask you to reveal that and to show us now that truth may penetrate and change us from the inside. We release your light to bring truth. Okay. How are we doing? Oh, do you need more time? No, I think we're okay for a minute because we can, you know. So, does anyone want to share their experience? It'd be good if you could, because we're being kitschy. Oh, I can give it to you.
I can't really remember what Deb asked us to do, but where I went was, I was thinking about who God is and how I feel about him. And actually, in my spirit, I'm really, really certain of who God is. Like, utterly certain. But I know that I have problems with how I relate to that. So what I felt that I needed to ask is, how do I feel about myself that affects who God is to me? So the questions that I felt that were fundamental to how I feel at times are, am I worthy and will God come through for me? Because even if God is completely capable and willing to help me, if I don't believe he's willing, then I'm in a bit of a mess. So with the Carrie Browning teaching that we've been having, the question that is good to ask is, where did I first feel this? And this is something that I keep on going over. So it's a process for me rather than a one-off thing. But I felt that as a very young child and as a baby, I didn't feel that my mum was reliable and that she would care for me. So I then have put that on God. So because I didn't trust her to look after me, then I don't trust that God will look after me. So I saw like this thick web between me and God, which was my doubt and my fears. So I did what I know to do, which is to forgive my mum again. And so as I was just doing this, I saw that God like put his finger on this thick web, and it like his like light came out of his finger and it dissolved. And so there was no barrier then between me and God. And then I saw myself, so God sort of like put his arms out to welcome me back to him. But I didn't go as an adult, I went as a three-year-old. And he just like scooped me up and cuddled me. But we also had me as a baby, so there was like the three of us just with him. And he just said, come sit with me. And what I realized that I can easily default into is that life is not safe and that it's too hard. And sorry. So what God was ministering to me as a three-year-old and a baby was rest, ease, being held and being safe.
Thank you for sharing that. That's a pretty awesome testimony. So can we see from that how you can feel you know stuff in the side, but life's experience and stuff gets in the way? And that's the journey we're on, asking God to remove all of that so there are no barriers and no boundaries to us coming into everything, into these. Not just that we can say, but actually this is our life's experience. This is who we are. So thank you for sharing that, Alice. That's thank you. Anyone else want to share anything that God said to them?
So I saw an apple with a big bite out of it, and then the apple kind of got eaten, and a torch with a really bright flame, and the word bee. That's it.
That's amazing. Because God wants us to just be. Excellent. Anyone else? It's okay, there is no pressure, obviously. Yeah. Shall I come to you?
I thought
maybe I was going to share a testimony time, but I guess this is the time. Yesterday I got not such good news. So I put my head a bit in a spin, is that I just came back from Germany from my trip. And I was very tired and I'm feeling a little bit crappy sick. There was a lot of people sick at the conference where I was in Germany. Anyhow, so on top of that, I got a letter from saying that I need to be out of my house by March 25th. And so that put everything a little bit in a spin for me. And anyhow, technically, I need to get out before February 25th, because 26th of February, I'm going to be gone for another 3 weeks. So anyhow, but I just, so at first I was a bit like panicky and just feeling really, just everything is in a spin, a little bit out of control again. But quite immediately, I sort of got the sense of peace as well. And God just saying me again, I got this. And interestingly, a couple of months ago, I've never had this before, but I woke up in the middle of the night and I heard an audible voice. I thought somebody was in my house. That's why it freaked me out. But I heard an audible voice saying, pack your bags. And at that time, I didn't like believe it. I thought, is that God? And but at that time, it didn't make sense to me. So I didn't actually think it was. Well, I did think it was God, but I just didn't understand the context of what he was saying. And I thought maybe it's something else, but I guess he was trying to warn me. And anyhow, so there was a sense of peace yesterday, actually, when my friend reminded me of that. And I thought, like, yeah, even though the landlord's mom, she passed away, so that was a sudden thing. That's why we did. They need the house back. It's like God already knew months ago that this was going to happen, and that he's just encouraging me now that he's got this. So interesting, this morning when I was writing it down, kind of journaling what had happened, and there was this text in my journal, which I thought was pretty amazing, right where I wrote the news, and it says, "Do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today." So I just kind of wanted to share this with you as kind of a statement of faith. And I had a sense this morning that God was saying, sometimes, you know, we share our testimonies when we have the good news, everything is wonderful, and things are all right, right? But I just felt God put on my heart that, you know what, we actually need to share when things are not all right yet, so we can encourage one another. And even though I already feel encouraged, you know, I feel like, just so many of God's reminders that it's going to be okay. But as I was sharing, sorry, it's a little bit different from what we were doing, but I just had a sense to share it with you. And just now God gave me some more words, and I had a sense that those words are not just for me alone, but for all of us. So he was saying, trust me. You've had to learn to trust me through some very difficult and painful times. You know I've got this. Trust me. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know this. Trust me. Trusting me is being still, being at peace, and having joy in the anticipation that I have something good planned. Thank you. Again, wow. Thank you for sharing, Rika. God has got us. And sometimes we can't see it. And that's really in the being, isn't it? In the being still, in the peace, finding that place of peace. And sometimes, like Alice said, there are reasons that we can't trust God. And they're usually things that have happened or occurred, or mindsets, belief systems, wounds, damage that have come on the inside that rob us from being able to find that place of peace. But that is who we are. That's what God wants for each one of us. So does anyone else want to share anything? Do you? Got three. One.
Okay. Obviously, Deb's been talking about the way we believe something can affect how we feel about something, but also the way we feel about something can then affect how we believe something. So without the experiences, you're sort of left in limbo, not really sure what you believe. Is it true or not? But the experiences will then confirm the truth or actually challenge what you think is true, and you realize it isn't at all. So I've been on a long journey of sort of having God challenge my thinking about him, what I think about him, what I believed about him. The experiences that I've had with him have actually not lined up with what I thought he was like, or what I thought I knew he was like, or what I believed he was like. And, you know, you think you sort of get to the end of that, and think, oh, yeah, well, I know it all now. It's just because I've experienced it. So over, and it's, God reminded me of this when I was sort of there, because he was talking about being with you in the reality of life situations and troubles, not just, hey, everything's at great, everything's at peace. Well, what happens when it doesn't feel like it is? Then are you going to go on the feelings that have been generated by external circumstances, or actually going, you going to go back to the center of he's in me and I trust him to be in that place of rest within him? And so the other day I was talking to him, and he's sort of, we have this habit, well, he has this habit of sort of saying something to me, and then in what he says, all of a sudden it's like, ooh, I never saw that before. So we were having a chat, and he said, what do you think about this scripture where Jesus said, you know, you love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself? And I thought, well, that's a good scripture. That's a really good thing to do. He said, is it? And I thought, well, of course it is. Then he said, well, where does that scripture come from? I thought, well, I know where it is in the New Testament. It comes from Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. He said, who was Jesus talking to when he said that scripture? So I thought, well, me. And I said, who was he actually talking to? Well, I guess the people who were listening at the time. So they were Jewish people who were living in a system of belief, which we call the Old Covenant, in which they had to fulfill the law and do all these things, obligations, to be okay with God. So when he said that to them, what do you think? And this is what God said to me. What do you think that they felt? And I was like, I guess they felt under an obligation to do that. He said, yes. So then he said, so what do you think that obligation to do that made them try and do? Oh, love God with everything and love their neighbor at themselves. So, oh, okay. So he said, do you think you have to do that as an obligation? Yes. Because that's what I thought. Well, yeah. And he said, actually, was I talking to you? And then I was sort of like, and he said, I'll give you the answer. No. So was Jesus talking to you? No. So everything he said in the context of who he was talking to, those under the law, is very different when he's talking to us now who are not under the law, who live under grace. And the grace of God is actually, it means his divine enabling power to do something. So in this sort of conversation I was having, all of a sudden I was like faced with all the things, you know, in the Bible there's a red letter Bibles, they call them. So all the words that Jesus spoke are in red letters. So it's easy to see the things he said as opposed to the writer who is just setting the scene or whatever else. These are the things he said. So I was faced with, what are the things that he said do actually I thought that he was speaking to me today and speaking to us today? And what are the things that he said are actually speaking me today and us today? So I went back over all these thoughts, and it was like, how much of what he said actually wasn't said to me, and therefore has meant I've lived under this law of trying to do them because I thought they were the right thing to do. And therefore, I'm doing them in my own strength. and trying to do them because I feel obliged to do them because I'm living under the law. And I never thought of it like that because I didn't thought, well, I don't live under the law, I live under grace. And I've got this amazing relationship with God where I can experience him and feel all this stuff. So all of these things that for me were experiences were then lined up to, what about this way of thinking which keeps you under the law? Which was quite a challenge because I didn't realize quite how much of those things that had affected me and that I was feeling obliged to do. So then you look at the way Jesus, the things he said are recorded, and they're recorded in four books primarily and a little bit in Acts. But four books. Now three of them are known as synoptic gospels. So they're all based in Matthew, Mark and Luke. They're all based in Luke wrote history, so he wrote the record. Matthew is sort of usually talking, he's talking to the Jewish people, and sort of Mark is sort of talking to generally anybody, basically. But John, very different. What John taught was seemingly very different from what the others wrote. And there are things in the Gospel of John that aren't in the other Gospels at all. And when I looked at this, I found most of those things were the things that Jesus was saying for us today. And John is known as the Apostle of Love. And John, it's recorded that Jesus loved. Now, he obviously is recording that about himself, and he's trying not to sort of say, well, this is me, but really he is saying this is me, because I know Jesus' love. And it's recorded that he had these encounters where he was lying down close to Jesus with his head on Jesus' chest. Now, that could feel really weird, you know, and if you come from a particular viewpoint, it's like, as a man laying down on another man's chest, ooh, that's really weird. But something that happened in those encounters, and this is why we do these encounters, it totally transformed John's view. So he wasn't writing from a law perspective. He was writing from a grace perspective because it was all about being loved. So then John comes up and says, Jesus gave us this commandment. And this commandment was, a new commandment I give unto you, love one another. Oh. So is he bringing us back to this law that we have to love one another or else? No, because it says something else. It says, love one another as I've loved you. So now, when we experience love, and that love experience enables us then to live out of that experience, not just have these belief systems that we try and maintain, because we've experienced love. So when you then encounter and experience all those amazing things that we've got written up there, those then become something that we can live out of rather than ideas and beliefs that we try and live out of. And so in this sort of process that I was going through with him over the last while, you know, I then started to focus on, well, what did you say? And everything about it was personal experience, you know, based in love. And then John's gospel is filled with those things, and Jesus talking about being in them and them being in him and abiding in the vine and having this amazing relationship, which is all intimate, rather than this law-based thing, which is what they used to live under. And so we then realized that when John then wrote other books in the Bible, He said something like this: we love because he first loved us. So anything that was love the Lord your God with all your heart is conditional, isn't it? You do this, you are obedient. And how many of us associate obedience with what we should be to God? But we're obliged to be obedient because there is a risk and reward. If we're obedient, we get something. If we're not obedient, oh, we might not get something, or we might get something worse. And so we've sort of lived in this law-based Christian thing, which has actually been focused on trying to do something by being obedient, rather than actually receiving love and that motivating us. So John said, we love because he first loved us. There is no we've got to try and do this. There is just, if you are loved, it is going to motivate you and inspire you to love. So free, Jesus said, freely you've received, freely give. There's no obligation there, is there? There is just, hey, receive. You don't have to earn this. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to be obedient for it. You don't have to fulfill the law for it. You don't have to try hard for it. You just have to let me do it. So receive the love, and then we can then release that love. Because how do you love others? If it's not unconditional, then it's not really love at all. If it's conditional on something, then it isn't love. But a lot of what we talk about love, and even talking about God's love, has been turned into a conditional thing. Because it's bringing us back to the law where Jesus wants us to live totally in grace. And so he wants us to freely receive, which is why all those amazing things, he wants us to receive love and joy and peace and kindness and warmness and completeness and all those amazing things. He wants us to receive them freely, forgiveness. So what do? When we receive forgiveness, forgive others freely. Because that's how Jesus forgave us freely. So everything then becomes an outworking of something which is completely unconditional and relational, not based in a law or anything like that. So there's so much more in this whole thing of having our minds renewed to bring us back into the purity of just the relationship of love, where he loves us and that inspires us and motivates us and moves us to love. And Jesus actually said, the world will know that you're my disciples by your love for one another. He didn't say by all the miracles you do or all these amazing things, but by your love for one another. And we can't love one another in an unconditional way until we receive unconditional love and realize God loves you because you're his children. He loves us all because we're his children, not because we do anything or have to do anything or have to earn it or perform for it or do some obedience thing. And the other day I was engaging in an activation with some people online, and in this activation I engaged with wisdom. Now wisdom is like a sort of a created being, an angel if you like, who is very involved with people to try and help them find out who they are and what they're called to do and their destiny. And I was there talking to Wisdom, where she sort of appeared in this engagement. And she said, let me open my heart to you and let me show you the oracles of God. So I'm like, whoa, the oracles of God. Now, oracles are sort of things that are spoken, but they carry with it a weight of this is really, really important. So I was there engaging with Wisdom, and she said, let me open it. And she said, these are the oracles of God. And it was like the first thing and these were all feelings as much as anything else. And the first things that she revealed is passion. Passion. This is one of the very key natures. God is passionate about us. And then the second thing was deep, intense joy. So I'm like, whoa. And as I started feeling all these things. And then there was burning desire. And then there was deep compassion. And then there was overwhelming love. And she said, if you experience the oracles of God, then you will be motivated to do everything in love. And God is absolutely passionate about every one of us. You might not know that. You may never really have experienced the fullness of it. But he's absolutely passionate about it. He has a deep, burning desire to have a relationship with us, that we would know the truth of who he is, love, and who we are, his children. And he is deeply motivated by the joy of having a relationship with us. It brings joy to his heart. Now, we might look at our lives and think, well, I'm not sure much of what I've done in my life has brought joy to God. But actually, is it anything to do with what we've done? Or is it totally to do with how he sees us and who he made us to be as his children. And he has deep compassion for us. So any of the brokenness and the pain and the hurt which stop us, he is absolutely passionately burning with desire to heal and restore and make us whole. And his overwhelming love, he wants us to experience freely, so that it absolutely changes and transforms our lives, so that we can actually really live this, you know, and not be caught up in the legalism of religion. Because there are a number of times religion is mentioned there. And what do we think when we think of religion? For me, I think of toeing the line and keeping the rules. You know, and actually, in the Bible, there's one statement where it mentions religion. It says, pure religion is this, loving the widows and orphans. You know, nothing about keeping the rules. You know, so we're not under the law. But to truly know that, we need to receive the unconditional love of God and experience it. So the first one was passion. The second one was burning desire. The third one was intense joy. The fourth one was deep compassion. And the fifth one was overwhelming love.
So it's love. And more love. Love is all you need. But it's not a word that we span. We need to know it on in here. So who thinks they've got more ways to go in knowing God's love? So. Deluded. So what we thought, it's like we know that frequency is a really important aspect in everything that we're learning, and we've kind of, I was going to say played with the bowls before, but that's probably not very good, is it? But we know that these bowls, again, they carry a frequency, and frequency can break strongholds, mindsets, all of the things that we don't want in our lives. And when we were doing the engagement before, I saw little light bulbs in people's minds, and I saw like neurons fleeting across people's brains, because we need to have our old mindsets broken and new ones made, so that we think God's way, so that we are able to believe truth and that live in truth and be truth to those around us. So what we thought that we would do is we would play some of these bowls. What I was going to say before Mike shared that was, what are some of the things that we've talked about this morning that you want deeper? Because when you play bowls and release, words carry frequency, all sound has frequency, and you can do things with intent. But maybe right now we'll just focus on love, because that seems like where most of us, we all need more love. We need to know God's love. So deep love. I mean, I was thinking about overwhelming compassion. You know, maybe we need to release God's compassion into situations, those oracles that I can't remember. But those things that Mike said, that Alice has so kindly written down. You know, we can release those to go at that deep, deep level on the inside of us, because that's what will transform us. Not out here, in here. That's where the change needs to come. So I don't know if you're feeling it, Alice. Yeah, but we can do that anyway, but it's just something to begin us, or maybe, you know, Mike will feel the call too. But you want to share? Why don't you just tell her? Bathroom break.
Yeah, bathroom break.
That's no good. I can't read it.
Burning desire.
No, but it's okay. I'm recalling it. Overwhelming compassion. Intense joy.
Is it overwhelming compassion?
Deep compassion. Deep compassion.
See, I got them in my head.
Oh, overwhelming love. I knew it was overwhelming something. Mm-hmm. So what we're saying is that this is how God sees us. That he has all of these things, passion, burning desire, intense joy, deep compassion, and overwhelming love. That's the way that he sees us, and that's what we need to know on the inside, that that's how he sees us. So when Alice comes back. Probably not, because we're going to play the bowls.
Okay, I'll have a little
picture. No, I was joking.
Can I just say a little story? When I was about, I don't know, 6 or 7, I used to go to church, and I remember having a conversation with my sister, and we were talking about how you had to love everybody. And at that time, there were children at school that I liked and children that I didn't like. And so I remember, you know, my sister was like, "Do you love everybody? God says you have to love everybody." And I'm like, "Well, I love these people, but these people I just love with God's love." Which at the time was an excuse for me, because I was like, yeah, I don't love them, but, you know, I use God's love to love them, which I thought was really bad and wrong at the time. But now I'm learning that actually that's really good and right. So, yay. So, sorry, that's just a little funny story.
But the thing is, you can't have to
love people. No. So I don't really know what I'm doing, but that's okay, because we're family and we're going to do this together, and if Mike thinks he can do it better, then. So, okay. I quite like the purple one, because this sort of is a pretty colour, but I don't know, there's like an intensity for me about purple. I don't know if there is for other people. And then this one is love, because it's nice and red. And then I think the green one is healing. So we've got intensity, love and healing going on. So I just think if we just look at the words, I think we'll start with healing, actually, because you need to be healed up before you can even feel God's love. So I'm just going to play these bowls. Close your eyes, because I don't feel like you're looking at me. And just engage with God's healing, because he knows you. He knows what you need. He knows the areas where you've got blockages. So if we just start with healing first, and then I'll do some other stuff. But this is love, you know. This is, God is interested in every single part of you, and he will never give up on you. He will never let you go. He's not going to think, well, you know, we've been doing this for a year and you haven't made any progress, so that's enough time. He is relentless, absolutely relentless. So just engage with healing and God's love while we do this. Thank you. just as I was playing the Red Bowl, I remembered a scene from a film called Sleepless in Seattle. And I don't know if you know, it's a love story, and a man is talking about his wife, who he's actually lost. And he said that when he met her, the first moment he met her, he said it felt like coming home. And that's what I feel God is saying to us. You know, relationship can feel really complicated. And, you know, you feel like you have to give something and there's an expectation. But actually God is saying that when you discover his love, it's like every single longing of your heart, everything that you have wanted, you just come home to him, and it's that safe place where you just go, I'm home. I can be relaxed. I can be myself. I don't have to put on a show. I don't have to be false or something that takes more energy out of me than I've got to give. But this is a place of rest and a place of peace. This is home. This is everything that I've been longing for. So just allow God to minister that to you for a moment. I'm just going to play the Red Bowl again and just let him minister that unconditional rest and love, because he is our home. Just receive this sound like a warm embrace. That popper squish that Joe was talking about. But it doesn't just go around you. It fills every part of you. All those places where you felt empty, where you felt confused, where you felt lost. God's unconditional love is filling every space. So would anybody like to share what they experienced. I mean, if it's something that you feel you'd like to. That's what I was going to say, but I don't want to put pressure on him.
I don't know what bowl you were playing, but I seem to end up in these rivers all the time. And there's these kind of green chunks of kind of tulip-shaped, I don't know what, with like a bright light on the core on the inside. And there's just, I don't know how to explain it, to be honest. It's quite difficult to explain what... Yeah, just totally peaceful. And when Mike said about intense joy was the first thing, that's from doing this meditation, that's exactly what I get from it. It's just joy and peace. I don't understand it. It's mind-boggling, but, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, what I got really was quite basic. It was a couple of words. It was unrequited love. But I also got his love is our love in his love. And it's kind of a full circle. So he loves the fact that we love him and his love grows. Well, it couldn't grow any further, but it still feels like it grows in us. It's just like an infinite circle of love.
I think I'm probably in the middle of quite a deep journey, but probably today is intensified with it in a sense of dealing with have-tos and ought-tos, which I kind of got from what Mike was sharing. There really a lot of feeling, well, I ought to do this or I have to do this, as opposed to flowing out of actually real life stuff. So I think I've kind of been in that place anyway, as most of us have, in all honesty, dealing with the ought-tos and have-tos. But I think what just really hit me was my whole life is there's responsibility that I've had for one thing or another. And it's quite difficult coming to a place of where does responsibility, which is good, stop and feeling obliged and have to take over. And responsibility obviously doesn't stop because we're responsible. We have lives to live and we have responsibilities. It's just, I think, at a deeper level, I'm probably going to begin a little journey of how much of what I think I do because it's who I am and it flows is actually going to be unpacking it to say that I feel I ought to or I have to. And it might not be that those things fall by the wayside. Maybe what I need to do is unpack them and my motivation. I may need to look at some things. Does this make sense? In light of everything that I do, I want and needs to flow out of the life of God flowing through me. So it might just be that my motivation or reason for doing some things needs to change as opposed to stopping doing some things. Does that make any sense whatsoever? But, yeah, and in it, I just felt loved in this, in a process which might be interesting at home. No, you know what I'm saying. It's just that whole sort of where, even though I think I'm not religious, just religious mindset, has it shaped me? And where will I need to then to change?
I think... there's a lot sort of said about, doesn't it say something like to obey is better than sacrifice? Is that a verse? Anyway, there's a lot to do with, oh, you know, whatever we need to do, we should obey God. And it's obedience that he's looking for. And that puts pressure on you. And I remember, you know, I see it on Facebook of people sort of quoting this as a good thing. And actually, from listening to what Mike has just said this morning, I'm just like, oh my, that does put a massive pressure on you, doesn't it? It's like, oh, I've got to obey. It's like, and, you know, it's like we can't be doing this in our own strength because we're just going to burn ourselves out, which is very easy to do. So I love that definition of grace, which I've forgotten again. I wrote down, I know, God's divine enabling power. So it's like whatever we do it in God's divine enabling power, which just feels like it's sort of, you know, I can hear, almost hear like strings being cut of that tension of obligation. And actually, it's, we do it with God's divine enabling power, I think. Out of the flow of love, yes.